Good morning. How are you? You seem a little flat today. So, you know, kind of pump it up. Let's go. Happy 4th of July weekend. I hope you had a wonderful day yesterday. It's good to see you here in church with us this morning. You are online as well. And as you know, we are in week 5 of our series on Psalms 23. And this morning we're going to talk about how to be led by the Spirit of God. And if you're like me, my life is about the series of decisions that we all make every day. And we make good decisions and we make some bad decisions. And every decision that we make has a consequence. And so the potential for error is great because we're human, right? We are imperfect. And maybe you're in the middle of a critical decision right now. Maybe you're thinking about, what do I take this job or that job? Or where do I move? Or do I get married? Do I not get married? Do I stay in this marriage? Where are the kids going to school next year? Are they going to school next year? Right? All these decisions that we make. And so indecision is a great a source of stress in our life, and yet our Heavenly Father does not want us to be stressed out. So the Bible tells us in James, for example, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and that word unstable means to be inconsistent or restless. It's where you can't figure out which direction to go, and it causes this tension in your life. And sometimes it can cause you to second guess a decision that maybe you've already made. But there is another option. And the other option is to let God guide you. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, the last part of verse 3 of Psalms 23. Let me read first 3 verses for you. This morning, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. And so God wants to lead us in a path of righteousness. In other words, he doesn't want us to like mess up our lives, right? John Piper wrote this book. We used to give it out to high school students called Don't Waste Your Life. Right? We don't want to do that. And a part of not wasting our lives is to make good, right decisions. And so how do we get on the right path? Well, Jesus through the Holy Spirit leads us in paths of righteousness. Or you could say that Jesus keeps us on track. Now, I know some of you are thinking, like I've tried to do that. I've tried to allow that to happen. I just don't get it. And so how do you do that? And that's what we're going to kind of look at today. Because I think there are some things that we must stop doing. And there's some things that we must start doing in order to allow God through the Spirit to lead our lives. And I know Psalms 23 is read at a lot of funerals because it's a comforting Psalm, but the reality is that the Psalm is talking about how God wants to guide us and lead us throughout our lives. And so I want to just focus in on this last part of verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. And I've been saying throughout this series that God is a good God, and the promise is that He will guide us. He will lead us. We're not out there all on our own. And the reality is, if you've never been guided by God, that's a problem, right? Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." One of the evidences that we're believers is that we've been led by the Spirit. However, it's not like this precondition to being a child of God. No, we become a child of God first, and then we're led by the Spirit. Most of you know I like to do some cycling in the summertime. And so this guy Foster and I, he goes to our church. We go cycling every week. And sometimes a few other guys go with us. But we go, you know, on these rides. And like the short ride's like 28 miles or so. It's like craziness, right? Here's how it goes. We meet here at the church. Well, when we get started, we go to Kendall Yards and back. And there's always this series of starts and stops. Like we always stop for coffee, right? That's a must. Right? Like I'm not going unless we stop for coffee. And then as we ride, we have to start and stop at the streets where we meet traffic. Or maybe we have a bike issue and we gotta stop and fix the issue and then we get started again. That's kind of the format that I want to use today to talk about how God leads us in paths of righteousness. How do we know God's will for our life? How do we know that God's guiding us in our lives? You know, maybe it's a business decision. Maybe it's a financial or relational or health decision. How do we know the path that we should go? How can we be led by God's Spirit? Well, there are some things that we need to stop doing in order to do that. There's some things that we need to start doing. So we're going to begin this morning with the things that we should stop doing. And so, number one, I must stop following a culture that doesn't follow God. Right? You can't run in two directions at the same time. You can't serve God in money. You can't serve God in anything else. Right? You have to decide what's going to be number one in your life. Exodus 23:2, the Bible says this, "And you shall not fall in with the many who do evil, nor shall you bear witness in a lawsuit siding with the many as to pervert justice." Right? It's always been in the nature of man to follow a crowd to do evil. Right? Just read the paper. Right? Since the time of when Adam followed Eve into sin. Right? That's why it's important for us to choose our crowd carefully. 1 Corinthians 15, don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So this idea that everybody else is doing it so that might or that's okay is a false narrative, right? You can't follow a culture that doesn't follow God if you want to be led by the Spirit of God. So a lot of people make decisions in their life according to what's acceptable culturally, right? I just want to fit in. I don't want to stand out. I want to rock the boat, right? And there's great pressures to make us conform to the culture. And you cannot do that and be led by the Spirit because He's like going in a different direction than that, right? It's part of Israel's problem, right? They kept wanting to be like every other nation. God said, no. You're supposed to be different. So He gives them these moral laws and civil laws and ceremonial laws, and that's going to make them different from everybody else. Romans 12:2 puts it really clearly and plainly. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. And just go ahead, if you're taking notes this morning, just go ahead and jot down good, acceptable, and perfect in your notes. And the point here is that we shouldn't copy the behaviors or the values of this world. We let God transform us into a new person. How? By the changing the way we think. Right? Then He says, you'll know the will of God. And we may know what's good and acceptable and perfect the will of God is. And you can't prove that in your life apart from what? The transforming work of the Holy Spirit. Right now we're going to get personal a little bit. Number two, I must stop following friends who aren't led by God. Right, so here's the deal. If your friends are going in the opposite direction that God is going, you have to make some decisions. Right, you're going to go in the direction of your friends, you're going to go in the direction of God. Question is, are you going to let your friends influence you? It's hard to hear God's will in your life if you're letting other things influence you. Right? Let's watch this. Let's drink that. Let's pollute our minds with a bunch of junk, right? Because one of the biggest things that causes people to miss God's will in their lives is peer pressure. 1 John 3:7 says, "Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous." So part of the verse tells us that John wrote here against a deception threatening the Christians of his day. And I think the same is true for us, right? Don't hang with those that are going to deceive you. John doesn't allow us to separate righteousness from a life of righteousness. So if we're made righteous by our faith in Jesus Christ, it'll be seen by what? Our righteous lives. Second part of the verse, the most important thing a person can ever do is to make sure that they are righteous before God, which simply means they're held in right standing before God. John's not saying that we're made righteous before God by our own righteous acts, right? The Bible clearly teaches that we're made righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. And yet that righteousness in Jesus should be evident in our lives. Right? That's the person that you probably want to spend some time with. Let no one deceive you. Because there's a lot of bad advice out there. Right? There are a lot of people telling you to do things that are probably not good. Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Right? We just need to choose those people that we spend time with wisely. Hang around people, wise people, you become wise. Hang around idiots, guess what? Just saying. We want to follow God's direction. We can't let culture get us off track. Can't even let our friends get us off track. Make sure the advice that you get is from the right source. So let me be clear about this. God's not saying not to have non-Christian friends, by the way. We need non-Christian people that we can speak into their lives, right? We can have influence on them. You just can't let them have influence on you and deceive you. All right, number three. I'm going to stop looking to other sources besides God. There are many other sources that want to tell you how to run your life. And these are replacements and substitutes for God in our world, right? And I've even heard of believers that will tell me who pray to God and they read a horoscope. And I'm like, what? But like, how does that work? That's like saying I believe in reincarnation and heaven at the same time. Either you believe in one or the other. Right? You can't believe in them both. It's irrational. It's not logical. It makes no sense. Ezekiel 21:21, for the king of Babylon stands at the parting of the way and at the head of two ways to use divination. So King Nebuchadnezzar, right, gets to this place where he has to make a decision. He's on which way to go and which way do I do. So how does he do that, right? He shakes the arrows, it says in the passage. Or in other words, it's like drawing straws. He consults household idols. He looks at the liver of a sacrificed animal, and that's how he makes the decision. Right? It's a common practice. It's called divination, if I'm saying that right. I'm not sure. We're going to go with it, though. And you ask, does it happen today? Yeah, it happens today. Right? Tarot cards, horoscopes, crystal balls, palm reading. We go to Seaside every year for the Northwest CBA meetings. And right across where we stay from the World Mark there is a palm reading house. It's been there for every year I've been there. So obviously they're making it. Somebody's going. God says, don't do that, right? Like, don't call the psychic hotline. Deuteronomy 18:10-12, there shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer or anyone who acquires of the dead. For anyone who does these things is an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. And you guys probably aren't doing any of that stuff, but if you know somebody that's just politely and lovingly, tell them to knock it off. Right? You're going down the wrong track at that point. All right, number four applies to a lot of us. I must stop being led by my circumstances. Right, we can all relate to this one. It's amazing to me how many believers determine God's will by circumstance, right? I missed the plane. It must have been God's will. The traffic was heavy. It must have been God's will. I bumped into you at the store. It must be God's will. I overslept today, and so I'm not going to church. It must be God's will. I think you're skating on thin ice when we build our life around circumstances. And there are a lot of biblical examples of this being a bad idea. I think of Jonah, right? Like Jonah had to go to Nineveh, right? God tells him, go to Nineveh and preach there. And because they were hated enemies of the Israelites due to the oppression, Jonah says, nope, not going there. And there just happens to be a ship headed to Tarshish, in which it's about as far east as you can go. He's supposed to go west. And so Jonah's like, the ship's there. I got money for a ticket. There's space on board. Must be God's will. Gets on the ship, and you know the story. Right? There's Paul's on another Mediterranean cruise many years later in Acts 27, right? And Paul's being taken to Rome as a prisoner. And the night before the ship's about to leave, God tells Paul, tell him not to go tomorrow because they're headed into a storm. Paul tells the sailor and the captain of the ship, hey guys, if we leave tomorrow, it's going to be bad. Right? They don't listen. Verse 10, sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. Right? So he just tells them, don't go. And how about this? Have you ever had like the gentle breeze of whatever come into your life and you're like, that's exactly what I want. Like I want that car. And then you get that car and what happens? It's like a disaster. Right? Like everything breaks on it. Verses 13 and 15. Now when the south wind blew gently, supposing that they had attained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete and close to the shore. But soon as a tempestuous wind called the northeasterner struck down from the land, and when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along. And how many times have we been driven by the waves of circumstance? Circumstance looked good, but it ended up to what? Be a disaster. How many times have we thought the circumstance was an open door, but it ended up being a trap door? And there are tons of examples of these in the Bible, right? David, right? Chilling out the palace, right? Sees Bathsheba taking a bath on the rooftop, right? You know what happens. The fact is that Satan can manipulate circumstances. And you need to know that. So you always need to check your circumstances against what? God's Word. You don't use circumstances to discern God's will. You use them to confirm God's will. God's Word is always the final authority. All right, number five. I must stop being led by my feelings. Right, if we want to be led by the Spirit of God, we cannot be led by our feelings, because our feelings, what? They lie to us. Emotions are temporary, whether they're good or bad, right? You can be elated at the wedding, but the emotion's not going to last. You can be filled with a lot of happiness when the Seahawks win in the final seconds, right? But it doesn't last very long. Same is true if you're discouraged, right? It's not going to last. Can't stay at the same intensity all the time. If you have a panic attack, it's going to subside at some point, right? You can't stay there forever. The most common mistake I think I hear people say is let your conscience be your guide. I'm like, really? Hate to tell you this, but your conscience is oftentimes wrong. The Bible says the heart is what? Deceitful. You probably lie to yourself, and I probably lie to myself more than anybody else. Just because we think it's true doesn't make it true. Just because we read something on the internet, right? Doesn't make it true. Something's true because it's true. It's not what we hope is true. It's either right or it's not right. Here's another one that you hear all the time that I think is suspect. Like, why did you do that? Well, I just had a piece about it. I'm like, hold up a second. Peace is a good thing, but you better have more basis for a decision than just a peaceful feeling. Remember the story of Jonah? Right? Here's the ship. I got the money. Hey, take me on board. He goes down to the bottom of the ship. He falls into a nice, what? Peaceful sleep. Like, dude is totally out of the will of God. But he is sleeping peacefully at the bottom of the ship. Right? Peace is a good thing, but it's not enough to base our life on. Because Jonah's like totally disobeying God. Satan can give you a false peace. Proverbs 14:2, there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it is the way to death. So you can feel like you're on the right road and still end up, what? Off in the ditch someplace. But the wise man will not lean on his own understanding, but will what? Trust in the Lord. Seek His insight and wisdom, Proverbs 3 tells us. All right, those are the things that we need to stop doing. And then there's some things that we need to start doing. If we're going to be led by the Spirit of God, if we're going to be led in the paths of righteousness, and I got to hustle, and so here we go. Number one is I must want to be led, right? Well, we have to have that desire to be led, and it starts with this craving. Have you ever had someone when you were little, maybe playing in the pool, and they hold your head under the water, and they won't let you up? And pretty soon you're like, I've got to have air. When you get that desperate, when we cry out to God, God's saying, I've got to know you. I've got to know your will for my life. It's not like I would like to know or it'd be helpful to know. No, I need to know. And we need to have that kind of intensity and passion in our prayer lives. We should be hungry to know the will of God in our lives. To be led by the Spirit. Psalms 48, I delight in your will, oh my God. Your law is within my heart. Right? He's talking about having this complete devotion to serving God. And he wants to do that because the law is in his heart. Right? Number two, I must be willing to do what God says. Right? And here's the question. Are we willing to do what God says in advance? Like, God, before you tell me what to do, the answer is going to be yes. Right? Like I tell my granddaughter. Answer is always yes with grandpa. I don't know what they're going to ask, but yeah, yep. Want to go to the pool? Yep. Want to go out to eat? Yep. Answer is always yes. We need to say to God, I surrender my life to you completely. Right? Whatever your will is. Even if I don't understand it, you know what? I'm in. John 7:17, if anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. And Jesus is saying, when we believe the word is from God through the Holy Spirit, we know that God's promises, how he leads us, can be true. We can follow with assurance. Number three, I must look to God's word. Right? God's will is found in God's word. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my guide, a guide to my feet, and a light for my path. The scriptures give us direction and guidance in all areas of life. And then in Psalms 119:133, it says, guide my steps by your word, so I will not be overcome by evil. Right? Direction comes from the word of God as the Spirit leads us. Number four, I must ask the Holy Spirit to be my guide. Right? Do you remember in high school? I don't know if you guys had, we had this thing called a guidance counselor when I was in high school, and you could go to the guidance counselor, and they would help you decide if you wanted to go to college or if you wanted to go to the military, you wanted to get a job or whatever it is that you wanted to do. I don't know if they still do that today or not, but as believers in Jesus, we have a mighty counselor, right? The Holy Spirit. And sometimes when we don't know what we should do in life, it's simply because we haven't what? We haven't asked God. James 4:2, you desire and you do not have, and so you murder, you covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel, you do not have, because why? You do not ask. The reason that we have these destructive desires that exist is because we're not seeking God for our needs and His will in our lives, and we just do not ask. Or when we do ask, sometimes we ask with these selfish motives, right? Like, I'll do your will, God, as long as it lines up with my will. Right? You know what we call that? That's selfishness. Huh? Psalm 27:11 puts it this way. Teach me your way, O God, and lead me on a level path. Right? Lead me along the right path. So how do we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us? Well, how do we ask God to show us His will? I think we ask humbly. Psalms 25:9, He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble His way. Right? The Lord is my shepherd and He leads me in paths of righteousness. Second way is to ask in faith. God, I'm seeking your will in my life and I'm asking you to show it to me, what? In faith. Right? It's that James 1 passage, if you lack wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith. Well, with no doubting, for the one who doubts like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. And I totally get that that's talking about trials in our lives, but I think not knowing God's will in our life is a trial. Right? At that point, we need wisdom. And a request for wisdom needs to be in faith. Well, without doubting God's ability to give us His wisdom. All right, last one, number five. I must listen for God's response. I mean, this is a big reason why I think sometimes we don't hear God. It's because we ask and then we kind of run off, right? When we get busy and we kind of do our own thing and we're not quiet and we don't listen, we don't pause. I can't emphasize enough the importance of taking time, taking private time every day with the Lord just to sit quietly. God, is there anything you want to say to me right now? And then just listen. Read your Bible and listen. Job 33:14, for God speaks in one way and in two, perceive it. Elihu's thought here is that perhaps God had spoken to Job already, but Job didn't perceive it. And I thought, could that be true of us? Has maybe God has spoken to us, He's revealed His will to us, and we have not recognized it, we have not understood it. Remember the story of the Israelites when they left Egypt and all of a sudden they came to a roadblock of the Red Sea? Right? The Egyptians are coming to get them and they're hemmed in and the mountains on either side, the sea's in front of them. And they're thinking we're going to get slaughtered here, right? They're going to come and get us. But you know what? God had them exactly where He wanted them. He did a miracle and the ocean split. And you know the story. They walk through on dry ground. And when they get to the other side, it closes up, right? You know that whole story. Listen to Psalm 77:19. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters. Yet your footprints were unseen. Maybe right now you're up against a barrier in your life. Maybe right now you need to know God's will. You need to know the right path to take. And maybe God has you right where He wants you to be. And maybe He's going to show you a pathway that nobody else can see. Would you pray with me this morning? Father God, thank You for Your Word today. Jesus, we ask today that as we seek Your will for our lives, that the Holy Spirit would guide us, God. Would You lead us to what You would have for us? Not our will, but Your will, God. And we just want to be led by the Spirit of God. Guide our steps as we read Your Word. God, guide our steps as we listen to You. Guide our steps as we ask. Because Your Word is a lamp that guides us and a light for our path. So we want to put our trust and our faith in You. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.